Well, it's good to be here. I'm glad to be here. I got this all written out, so let me read it as I get confused. Once again, I say to you here at the Cheetah Baptist Church, I am glad to be here. Only this time to be one of the speakers. We like to come when y'all have stuff. We just like coming over here for a number of reasons. One, you let us. Well, that kind of means something to somebody, don't Brother Paul? You seem like you're glad when we come, too. That's another unique story. But we're glad. We get to sing a little when we come over here, and we like to do that. But ever so often, I'll get to preach, and I like it. Of course, you feed well. We like that, too. We like meeting people that we hadn't met before. I do not take lightly this great privilege afforded me to be able to preach to the little flock of sheep of which the Holy Ghost has made Brother Russell overseer. That he trusts me with his sheep to properly feed them is indeed an honor to me. I'm going to be doing something very different for me this time. I'm going to, instead of preaching consecutive or continuing passages of Scripture, I'm going to preach from two separate, seemingly unrelated passages of Scripture, two messages. It's what it seems like, and that's what it is. I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to preach a message from each passage, somewhat of an overview, and for me to handle the passage in more in-depth detail would take me too long. So I'm just going to kind of give you an overview of this. So I'm trusting you'll be praying with me as I intend to do that. First, tonight I'm going to be preaching from this subject, the intolerable exclusiveness. The intolerable exclusiveness. From 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And then tomorrow, if the Lord willing, I'm going to be preaching on this subject. Knowing resurrection power. Now, if the Lord changes my mind, I brought a whole sack full of sermons. So if he can do that. Sometimes he can change my mind and not even have a sermon, just get one together right quick. We call that spontaneous preaching. We don't do that too often because it lasts too long. But the resurrection power is in Philippians chapter 3. I would also like to say, once again, what a great pleasure it is for me to be with my dearest and best and longest friend, not the oldest friend I got, but longest friend in the world, Brother Walter Sanders. It's always a great pleasure for me just to be around him. Now, he jokingly seems like he really does not like me. But don't let that fool you. He just simply means, and no one else will put up with him like I do, and that's why we're still friends. That's about the truth. So, if we can, let's get to the message. If you have your Bibles, look at where we'll get in sin in just a minute. I'm not going to read just yet. I want to say a word. Sure enough, while he's preaching, he stirred me a little bit. There was something he said that caught my attention that I never thought of quite like this before, talking about Muhammad and all those folks and the Lord Jesus Christ and who the God, this, did you get what he said about God being the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ? God ain't the Father of Mohammed. Isn't that interesting? Now here's a bit, watch this, this is what the Bible says. And I read that in the Bible. Watch, this is what the Bible says. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the God we worship.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't worship no other God. Listen to me. If that's not the God you worship, the God you worship is the one Brother Spalter's described earlier. It's a God of your own imagination. And here's how I hear that God described quite frequently. And it goes like this. You might have even said it. Well, to me, God is. Well, it don't make no difference what God is to you. What matters is what God says He is from the book and the Bible. I'm going to preach on this subject, the intolerable exclusiveness. The Scriptures pose an idea that is completely and permanently removed from any widespread acceptance among any type of organized religion of our day. Did I confuse you with that? I'm going to do like my good friend Dr. Campbell said. Let me drag that by you one more time. The scriptures pose an idea that is completely and permanently removed from any widespread acceptance among any type of organized religion of our day, including most of those of the so-called fundamentally conservative ranks. That is, the idea that there is a singular, absolute truth. Did you hear me? And that singular and absolute truth is committed to the church.
Right.
Now here's the problem that I've run into, Brother Sanders, is what you was talking about. Folks are not committed to the church anymore. The local church. They're just not. Everywhere I go, everywhere I see people, and some folks in our church are just not committed. And I finally think I discovered why. Brother Russell, folks are not committed to this local assembly, this building, this local church, is because they're not committed to the Christ of the church. And if you ever get committed to Christ, you'll get committed to a local assembly somewhere, serving God to the best you can. You may have to hunt and search and probe till you can find one, but there is one. But I'm talking about the church. Now, the problem is this. When one is speaking of the church, the question comes up, what church? It is this question, fueled by the rank opinion of today's religious pluralism, that no one religious system can claim to have and to know the absolute truth, that I want to try to deal with for just a little bit tonight. If you have your Bibles and will and can, and as Brother Walter has taught me to do, I learned this from Brother Sanders. Most of the stuff I get from somebody. I wear red suspenders every now and then, and folks accuse me of trying to copy Dr. Ira Campbell. And I say, guilty as charged. If I could preach like Curtis Barbary, I would. I can't. If I could preach like Walter, I would. But if I could preach like a real preacher, I would. No, I'm serious. These people are my heroes. They're not my idols, but they are my heroes. And I honor them and I like them. And Walter's taught me some stuff through the years. Believe it or not, he really has. Chapter number 3, verse number 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's what he was talking about a while ago when he talked about our Armenian brethren. He still knows a bunch of those guys, and I know them, and they're still faithful to the preach the virgin birth, the blood atonement, and the soon coming king. They're still faithful to do that after 50 or 60 years in the ministry. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. My prayer is you'd help us with it tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. I got to take my coat off. Word, I discovered something else while he was preaching. I looked on my time and it says stain resistant. Well, it ain't. If I get too close to you, you can see my stains. Just do the best you can with what you got. I don't know what to tell you about that. I didn't bring another tie to put on with this outfit. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 14 through 16. In order for me to preach this tonight, I'm going to have to do what my friend Brother Johnny Carter says, edit. And I have to edit severely, but I'm going to try to do that. It's already late, and I want to get through so you folks can get into bed. Well, go home anyways, if you don't want to go to bed. Here's my first point, things, in verse number 14. These things, what things? When you read the Bible, it does well to pay attention to the words. I've told you that before, probably over here. I'm always telling those folks at home that these things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. And I don't have time to talk about all the things that he writes, but the entire chapter. It's filled with things. Let me just give you some examples that I jotted down here. Principles in chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Prayer in chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. That's an interesting prayer too, by the way. We Calvinistic folks avoid this prayer as much as we can. Say, what are you talking about? Well, read it. This is what it says. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved. Feature that one. Well, that's all that's elect. Well, you can say all that you want to say, but it says all. And that's what you ought to be praying. I can't imagine praying for somebody to go to hell, can you?
No.
Ted Kennedy died. And I hear some really, really, really rough stuff about Ted Kennedy. Now, I doubt seriously he made it to heaven. But that ought not make you happy. Hello? Hey, listen to me. Just because Ted Kennedy didn't go to heaven don't mean it ought to make you happy, because the only reason you get to go to heaven is something that didn't happen to Ted Kennedy. And what happened to you didn't happen to you because you willed it to happen.
Right.
That is, if you get to go to heaven. We call that election. God would have all men, but they say, I understand all I know, but that's one of the things that Timothy's writing. He said, Paul's telling Timothy, I want to come and be with you. Can you picture that? My friends at Hawkins go 400 and something miles to listen to a guy named Curtis Barbie preach for a week. 5, 6 nights. Well, it was there Sunday through forever. I didn't think it's coming home. I was beginning to get where I thought I was going to have to go get them. But can you feature listening to Paul? That's what he's saying. Hey, but until I get here, I've already told you enough stuff. If you'll just think about these things, pay attention to these things. For example, these principles that we talk about in chapter 1. This prayer, partnering in chapter 2, verse 9 through 15. Isn't that interesting? Partnering in verse 9. In like manner also the women adorn themselves. That's the partners you got. Then in chapter 3, he's talking about pastoring. And then in chapter 4, he's talking about proving. And then in chapter 5, he's talking about providing and profiting in chapter 6. All of these things. Well, these are the things that he's talking about. Give attendance to these things. Listen, until I come, these things right unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But until I get there, I've written these things to you so that you can pay attention to some of those things. I get frustrated sometimes. Folks don't do what I ask them to. In church. What do they think I'm up here preaching for? I heard Brother Sanders say this, and I hear him say this a lot. I'm trying to help you, children. Listen. If you just listen to the things the Bible said, and listen well, and try to do what the Bible said, because what I'm giving you is what the Bible said, if you'll just try to do these things, it'll help you. I did not make that up. That is in the Bible. Let me give it to you. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that they may, that thy profit may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both do what? And who else? They'll hear you. Isn't that interesting? That's what Paul's saying. In this, now listen, we have an absolute truth. What I'm telling you is not up for votes. It's not discussed. You can't discuss it. You say, well, to me, Brother Preacher, I don't believe it means that. Yeah, but see, that's a problem. All you got to do is get in and listen to what the Bible says. And that's what he's giving us here, is these things in the Bible. So the first thing we see is the things. These things, all these things from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 6. In fact, I don't know this, but I would not be surprised if he didn't intend for Timothy to know the stuff that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, because he was at Ephesus, was he not? Say what? Wouldn't you think? And I read this in the church that he wrote, in the letter that he wrote to the church at Colossae. So I had them boys over here in Laodicea.
That's the one Brother Sanders was talking about. Read this letter. I tell you what you guys do. You read the letter that I wrote to the church of the Laodiceans. Now, that's not the same letter in the book of Revelation, by the way. But where is it at? I don't know. We don't have it. But Paul wrote it. He knew what he was talking about. And obviously those at Colossae knew what he was talking about. Was that inspired scripture? Evidently not. But it was inspired from Paul, and it was good from Paul. It was good for their understanding. Or Paul wouldn't have told them to read it, pay attention to it, listen to it. And over and over he said, hey, these things that I've said, these things that I've taught you, the traditions that I've taught you, things are important. We would do well, you and I, when we get I got so aggravated at Malcolm X last night. Well, not one of my favorite guys anyway. I don't like some of the places he goes. I like Malcolm, but I didn't particularly care some of the places he goes. And he got over preaching on don't pray and don't fast and don't give in order to be seen. These are talking about preaching. This has been my problem. I want to preach impressively. And don't look at me like that. He didn't do it. Amen. But here's what Paul said. Hey, if I'm trying to please men, I'm not pleasing God. I'm not the servant of Christ. And I told him I didn't come over here under conviction. I had to say that quite frequently. Most places I go, preachers start preaching it. It seems like they're preaching to me. Somebody's been reading my book. You get so great. That's what's the matter. That's another thing that's going on with your job. I know Teresa's not there. Did y'all notice that? I saw it.
He's younger than I am, and look at he's going, his daddy not in that gray head. Stress, that's what it is, brother.
I was hoping it was wisdom.
Usually wisdom comes from stress. Well, think about it now. Here's a little help.
Almost always, humbleness comes with humiliation. Hardly ever do we get any other way.
We want to be humble. And that's another thing the preacher was talking about, our humbleness. We're so humble and proud of it. And listen, I told him, this is what I told him. I said, hey, I'm just going to let that roll off my back. But what we've got to do is pay attention to these things. Now, here's a second point. Not only do we see things, but we see truths. Now, there's a lot of other stuff in there, but I'm editing. Truths. In verse number 15. Now watch this. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Now watch. The pillar and ground. Are you watching this now? Not of truth. Of deep truth. I tell it this way at home. If you want the truth, you can't get it at the White House. Especially, you couldn't get it when George W. was there.
Or anybody else.
Nor anybody else that's ever been there. It's just, it's not. But see, the White House just don't go down the truth. It might have when it first started. Politicians are renowned liars. They almost have to be to get elected. And if they're not when they get elected, just stay in their office. They almost have to be. You can't get it at the courthouse. This is what they do at the courthouse. They make you swear on the statute. No, on the Bible. Well, I don't think they use the Bible anymore, but they make you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And that's Brother Sanders. Get him to tell you some of his experience. Y'all just listen to him every once in a while. He's done so much stuff. He went to court and they didn't want him to say anything that he didn't want to say. He said, wait a minute, you told me to tell the whole truth and I'll fix it. Whether you want to hear it or not. Or something like that. They don't want to hear your truth or the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. That's what most religious people want to hear.
Right.
when they come to our church. We hardly ever sing at home special music. We hardly ever. We sing three hymns and I pray for about until I wear out. Or just get tired. I had to quit. Those folks that are sitting there eating this stuff, I gotta quit. That's it. But the problem is, not many folks show up for that. I was so excited not too long ago, Brother Russell, we had a couple visit on Sunday night. And they seemed to be excited about the services. They were gone. They didn't know nothing about it. But they was out there watching that other preacher. And we had some real folks come in to hear a real preacher. I keep telling them, help them over here to hear some real preacher. And they come, and I was excited about them coming. They said, we'll be back. And on the way to church on Wednesday night, I often do this. Well, I wonder who's going to be there tonight. I knew who wasn't going to be there. And they weren't the only ones going in. I had another couple left out to hear that same preacher. And lo and behold, the lady of this couple came back. And she brought 9 more people with her. And I was excited. And they was excited. They just seemed real thrilled. And that's about, 3 weeks ago? Hadn't heard from them since. I don't know. But it could be that they just didn't like some of the stuff I said. Now, I promise I do not intentionally try to offend people. I don't. But I cannot not tell the truth. Isn't that right, Brother George? Brother George was in our church the other day, and he said something offended somebody, and that then collared me about it. And I was going to collar him about what he said. Start out with, he said, if you don't like it, take it up with the pastor when he gets back. That's exactly what they did. They come to the pastor. I said, wait a minute, time out. Well, he didn't know better saying that while I was gone. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Here's some truth, and this is truth we got to get. The truth is in the church. Watch, here's what the church is. All right, I'm not talking about just the building. But the church is a habitation for God. It's in the Bible. I'm going to give it to you right here. Look with me in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. You say, not this building. I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the people. Would you agree with me that's what the scripture means? In chapter 2, verse 19 of Ephesians. Listen to this. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. And that's interesting. To whom? To the household of God. You are strangers and foreigners to this world. In fact, pilgrims and strangers is how Peter says it. But in this world, in this life, that means you're not a citizen of this world anymore. You understand what I'm saying? If you have had that experience that Brother Sanders spoke of earlier about becoming a new creature, the old creature dead, you're not what you used to be anymore, old things are passed away, I don't know whether that pertains to you or not, but it's got to pertain to you.
Right.
Hey, if it don't pertain to you, what good is
it?
Right. Listen to me. No, if you be a new creature, if you're not, I've never been born again, what's been born again means then. Whole things are passed away. You used to be a citizen of this world until you got saved.
No, you didn't got saved. You are saved. You be saved. And are being saved.
And will be saved. Now here's what you look.
You're no more strangers and foreigners. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now watch, are you listening?
Do you have a real Bible?
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly joined together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, I don't like the term universal church, because the church is not universal. I like the term one true church. There's a difference. Now, is it universal or it's all over the world? But it didn't. It's not just all over the world. The church started back then when Jesus said, "On this rock I'll build my church." That was the foundation. The framework come when the Holy Ghost come on those guys at Pentecost. And now, the finished work is being done today. You're part of the blocks. That's what he said in Ephesians chapter 4. I believe it's verse number 16. We're just being put together. So here's what we are. We're a habitation of God. This God is true. Remember reading it? And in him is what? No lie. You don't get that at the courthouse. You don't get that. You don't even get that at the schoolhouse. So we come up. Do you know that almost every public school today, if not every public school, almost every public school they teach is for science, evolution. They do it in junior high school. Evolution, the dynamo doctrine of Darwinism. That's where social gospel got its start. I mean, it's crept into the Bible Belt. What an interesting concept, the truth. And this is the intolerable exclusiveness. They won't tolerate the truth. You see, they'll tolerate Islam. Our president will tolerate Islam. He says we're no longer a Christian nation. Well, we never have been a nation full of Christians.
Right.
But we have been a nation founded on Christian principle, and we ought to still be. I'm still being a Christian nation. And I know we never have been a nation completely full of Christians. Even all of the founders weren't real Christians.
Right.
But at least they use Christian principle. But every single state constitution, every single one of them, and the United States, all 50, base their constitution on the sovereignty of God. Just for him. But even the state Catholics. And no doubt that you don't get the truth. Nobody should get the truth is the house of God. Now my concern is, as Brother Sanders keeps talking, telling us, are we really giving the truth? Listen, this is people, not the material building. Secondly, in this same concept, here's the spiritual application of this truth. We are in holiness to God. Look at chapter 4, verse 16. Let's cut to verse 16 right quick. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, make an increase of the body under the edifying of itself in love. Now keep that thought. I have to find my place. I'm going to get it right here. And look with me in verse 20, that same chapter. Watch. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and what? True holiness. Wow. I'm wondering about holiness. Now, I'm not talking about a holier-than-thou attitude. We got enough of that. That's Pharisaism. That's legalism. Pharisaicalism. Did I say that anywhere near right? I can say they're not fair, you see. That's what the Pharisees are. No, listen, here's what I'm talking about. I go to church on Sunday, so therefore I must be more holy than you. In fact, I got a 25-year temper, never missing a Sunday school. So therefore, I really must be more holy than you. In fact, as a matter of it, that don't make you anything. That might make you less holy. Because you're depending on that. And that puts your works for your righteousness And there is no such thing. You heard of decisional regeneration? Well, let me explain it to you. There is no such thing. There's decisional ism. But you can't get decisional regeneration. There's Holy Ghost regeneration. Huh? Yeah. So here's the point that I'm trying to get across to. Here's what we are. Holiness. That means separate. If the Lord is, I'm going to the Georgetown Baptist Church in Chantula, Alabama on Labor Day Sunday, whatever day that is in September. It's the very next Sunday, as a matter of fact. I'm going to get to preach the keynote. I get to finish across the way up with that and be a keynote preacher. That didn't mean me. And I'm going to preach on sanctification. There's a lot of controversy about my friend Edgar Woodson. He's always ragging me about people in progress of sanctification. And others believe in positional sanctification and permanent sanctification. But here's what I believe. Are you listening to? Personal sanctification. So why do you believe that, Brother Bryant? Because it's what's about this one. Listen, I'm going to preach from this guy. Be ye holy. Far. I am holy. That's what God said. God said, they, you know what holy means? It means separate. If you ever got born again, you're no longer a citizen of this world. Now listen to me. That also means that you're not related to the citizens of this world. Hello. That's where we get mixed up. So, you think we can be a Christian and live like world? That's what you did before you got to be a Christian. Are you listening? You cannot. I read that in the Bible. You'll look clean for one, and despite the other, you'll love the one or hate the other.
That's what Brother Sanders was telling us. You love the world?
No, look at me. Listen to me. I'm guilty of that. Look at my boots. It looks like somebody took a pencil from the inside and poked it up. These are pure ostrich, full quill ostrich boots, baby. Now, growing up in the boot world, that's fighting for kind of boots. I mean, if you get your clothes, you start shifting. I didn't buy them. But it's worldly. I love playing that kind of stuff. I love that kind of stuff. But here's my problem. If I was that person, I wouldn't serve God, then I'm in trouble. So well, that don't happen. Well, it does happen. The church people. Why do you think so many folk work so much overtime? Well, I've got to work. Well, do you really? Well, if I want them ostrich butts, I say. Huh?
Holy separation. This is what Paul's talking about. He teaches that in this whole chapter, this book of 1 Timothy. He teaches it in the whole book of 2 Timothy. But listen, let me show you how much he teaches it in this chapter. Watch this. This is what he says in this book, chapter 6. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of the doctrine which is according to the godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. But doting about questions and strifes and words, whereof cometh envy, ravings, evil surmises, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Now watch. Are you listening? This is the mindset of most religion today. This next phrase. Supposing, well, they must be doing something right. Look at their God's really blessed them. They grow it. They build a big old building. You know what? They can't pay for it. I was in a church several years ago, and I'm telling the truth. Now, here's the truth. Well, I've been telling the truth all the time. But I've got witnesses of this. I was in a church,
We had to be there on Wednesday night. There was their business meeting. They put off a week. We didn't go there for the business meeting. Almost all Baptist churches have a monthly business meeting. We quit. Thank God we quit that business meeting. Now we just fight once a year. We don't need fighting. We just had a business meeting here not long ago. It's one of the sweetest things. I get so worked up for business meeting. I hate it. Just because of potential that could go wrong. I do. I wish we never had to have a business meeting again as long as I live. I know y'all don't worry about that stuff over here, but I hate it. But we had one, and it was so sweet. Sometimes not always that sweet, but this was so sweet. I did this business meeting, and the preacher said, "We get $18,000 a month, and we need $24,000." Or something like it. It was a bunch of money. Now, the figure may not be exact. I'm not joking. It's true. But a couple of months was over our annual budget. And this is what he said. He said, "We got to have more money." And this is what he did. He didn't talk. He didn't do this Sunday, that Wednesday night, but Sunday morning he taught Sunday script, the preacher pastor. And when he was teaching Sunday, he said, "Now, we got to start winning souls to Jesus." He said, "If all I want you to do without there win souls is making $80,000 a year or more." That's what I said. I said, "I'm not joking." He said, "Well, they got to be one to Jesus, so we might as well get them so we can have pay this bill and all." They had 40 or 50, 30 or 40 people coming. And the building had received 200. It wasn't big enough, so they built a building that was
689.
Where's the truth? Listen, here's what they think. Now, if they can, and you can go get it, by the way, you'll probably do it. But he can't do it preaching the truth.
Me and my friend, Brother Paul Jordan, done talked about this flocking. Brother Sanders mentioned a guy named Brother MacDonald, J.M. MacDonald, evangelist out of Vivian, Louisiana, until he got too sick. He had to go live with his son in Katy at the Katy Bible Church. He introduced me to him. Mentor of his and become a mentor of mine. He taught me this back then when I was pastoring in Shepherd. This is what his son did. He said, let me help you build a church. And he's a big time grace man, brother. It's not honest. Did you know Brother Matt?
Brother Paul, did you know?
Grace man. I mean a solid grace man. He said, let me help you build a church.
Start in chapter 1, verse 1, start preaching to the back. That's okay.
And I did. We had about 9 in our church. And I started doing that, and we got up to about 12 or 14 now. I left that church and come to Carthage. And when they called me a special, we had about 55, somewhere in there. And I told them, "Well, I was going to look for Brother Mac." I said, "That'll deal with the church," and it did. We started growing. We grew from about 55 to 12. I'm not joking. And that's what they told me. You know what they told me? And I did my best to be a good pastor, and I'm not near as good as you, but I did my best. If there was a need, I'd take care of it. If your family had a need, I'd go see them. People in the hospital, I'd sit with children who was having surgery where mamas and daddies couldn't go. I would do that still. I would do that because that's part of my call, and I would do that. But here's what they told me. They said, "If you'll quit all that tension and go back to preaching, you'll go back." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Here's the problem. Verse by verse. Are you listening to me? Line up on line. Sooner or later, you've got to deal with the facts. You do that. You understand what? Sooner or later." See, after a while, it's been my opinion. So I got an opinion, and I'm better than yours. Unless yours gets better than mine, and I'm of God's mind, and God's yours, and it's still be mine.
But sooner or later, when you look, this is a question. This is my friend Carter told me this yesterday. Was talking about this. When somebody asked Brother Brown, what's going on? He said, well, what does the Bible say? That's what matters. See, that's the truth. That's what we're after. The truth. If we don't have the truth, and this is what Paul is telling Timothy. He said, listen, Timothy, listen, it's the house of God. People ought to be able to, are y'all listening to what I'm saying? You ought to be able to drive from here to any place in the United States, go over any Baptist church, be able to have confidence to drive up in any Baptist church parking lot, get out the window building, and sit down and listen to the same thing that you've been hearing, Carl. Would you agree that's what you're all able to do? But you can't do that. You know why? Because they ain't all of the house of God. Some of those are, what do you call them, counterfeit Christians? Some of them are counterfeit places. Paul, listen. Paul said, listen to me. Jeff, you get that. This is what you do. Maybe it can't get off with this very last thing. Look, the tenets of our faith. And this is what Brother Sanders was talking about our friends. The election is not mentioned in this passage of Scripture. Go look at verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The election is not mentioned in there anywhere. Predestination is not in thought, isn't it? Are you getting off on my account? I'm a biblicist. Isn't that right? I just believe what the Bible said. But did you see election in that verse of Scripture? Here's what matters. God is manifest in the flesh. And this is what they did. This is why I hear telling us that, well, all you got to do. This is what Paul said. I'm determined on other things. He said, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, I'm just going to preach the gospel. Because the Bible meant, who is Jesus Christ? If you don't want to step and see who Jesus Christ is, it'll make no difference what it means about Him being crucified. Because the same day He was crucified, two things were crucified. Both of them deserved to be. At least that's what one of them said. Yeah, you got to get that part in. That's right. But the first thing you got to say is to do is Jesus Christ. It ain't no one. It ain't food. It ain't the Jehovah's Witness Jesus Christ either, by the way. Or the Mormons. They ain't Latter-day Saints, they ain't Latter-day Saints, they ain't no kind of saints. I'm talking about the Mormons. The Catholicism. Love practice. They don't know who Jesus Christ is. Somebody said, you don't have to make the Virgin Birth to be saved. Well, sure you do.
Amen.
I used to say that, Wilson. I used to have me so confused.
Well, you don't want to believe the Virgin Birth, they said.
Well, sure you do. Who do you think saved you? Santa Claus. I didn't say you had to understand it. Do you understand it? It's a mystery.
Exactly right.
Do you understand that, Buzz? Don't you? For the life of me, I haven't figured out TV yet. Oh, I know how it works, but I don't know how it works.
But what do we say? I don't know why it works. I know how it works.
Justified in the Spirit. Have you got any idea what that means?
Listen, Jesus did not get baptized with the Holy Ghost the day He got baptized. He got filled with the Holy Ghost from the sense. Where did you find that? It's in the Bible. Remember what the angel told Miss Mary? That holy thing.
Yes.
What's going to happen? I like this part, by the way. It's that same Holy Ghost that come in with Miss Mary and make Jesus Christ in her family. It's that same Holy Ghost that makes Jesus Christ in your father.
Yeah.
Just that everything he did under the prompting and power of the Holy Ghost. Led of the Spirit. Driven by the Spirit. In the power of the Holy Ghost. Justified in the Spirit. Sing of angels.
I'm seeing of angels. Did you know that?
I read this in the Bible, though, wasn't it? A friend of mine told me one day he was going down the road. There was a place between where he worked and where I worked. There was a big old, well, a poor thing, but it had very wide shoulders. Look at this guy here. You might not even remember this. Right in front of that prison, you said you dropped something on the floor and you bent over to get it, and the next thing you know, you looked up and there comes a great big old truck, right? Headed on to you. And all of a sudden, the truck went back and you went on your merry way. And you told me that. I said, I believe that. God, the glory of angels watching over me. I believe that. Mr. Spencer, I hadn't seen him yet. Thank you, man. When Paul Jordan wakes up in the morning, they say, "Wake up, Paul, we got to go." They might tell you that before he ever wakes up. Some of us are pretty restless in our sleep. Minister of spirits. Sing of angels. Now, why were they so interested? I explained it to you. I think I explained it to you. They're over. In the balance. Read about this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. I haven't got time to do all that now. But it says, sing of angels. What was sing of angels? The grace that was brought in. The Spirit that was in them. The Spirit of Christ. Now, this is what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10 and 11. The Spirit of Christ that was in them. The Old Testament prophets had the Spirit of Christ in them. Isn't that interesting? You didn't know the Spirit of Christ was in the Old Testament, did you? But it was. From the beginning. The triune God is from the beginning. Sing of angels. Why were they so interested? Because he did not come out of the grave. The fallen angels won. But when he come out of the grave, I think that's what it means in one of those places when he said he lived captivity, and another place he said made an open show over them, spoiling principalities. You know what principalities are, right? Demons. Do you know Blazing Demons? Sing the bass. Preached on. Listen. Preach them to the Gentiles. Now listen. Here's where you say hallelujah. Well, let me ask a question. How many of you in here are Jewish? Of the Israelite Hebrew nationality. Raise your hand if you're Jewish. Well, then I say, here's where you say hallelujah.
Yes.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about the gospel was preached to you. Well, this is the same message that Brother Sanders did in our meeting. By the way, I don't say you're under that kind of preaching. Maybe some of you were. Maybe most of you were. Some of you weren't, Brother George. Well, I like all Brother George. What do you got to do to be saved? We tell him this story. You can't do nothing to be saved. You can't do nothing to be saved. You got to do something, don't you, Brother George? What? Sir? But you're in a world of trouble. You can't believe. And here's the reason you can't believe. You're dead in sins and trespasses, and your spirit's dead to God. You can't believe unless the Holy Ghost does it. Well, that's what the next verse, the next portion said. Is it not what the next portion said? Believe where? Where? In the world. You can't wait till you get to heaven. I'm giving you truth now. See, this is absolute truth. No,
All roads don't lead to the same place.
Amen.
You don't get this in every Baptist church you go to. You got to believe. You must.
Are you listening to me?
You must come to Christ.
You're gonna come to God. You got to believe.
Did you remember reading Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6? And then here's what happened.
Received up into glory. We're talking about
y'all need to pray for the Parkway Baptist Church. That's the place where I made the main reference. They said amen. Right? Flag this up because of other main reference. I have taken on the task of preaching through the book of Exodus. There's my friend Johnny Smith, who's a black man from Dumas, Arkansas. He says, Exodus. Well, he's a preacher too, by the way. But this is what we've been just recently we've been talking about midwives. There was two of them named. I don't know how many Hebrew children there were at that time, but Moriarty. But there had to be more than the two midwives now. So these are the two names. They named, or this is their name, Fair and Spindle. Now, in the Hebrew, it's Shiphrah, Shiphrah. What a name. If you think that one's good, the next one is named Puah, Puah. Now, Shiphrah is a family. And I guess to make up for being named Puah, it means splendid. Pharaoh. You know Egypt represents what? Everybody knows that. Even though anyway we're here in China, they know that. If Egypt represents the world, then who does Pharaoh represent? He'd be the king of the world. In the New Testament, he's called other things, the prince of the valley air. Yeah. The god of this world. Yeah. Huh? The prince of the world? Yeah. We would call him the devil, Satan. That's who Pharaoh. And Pharaoh talked to them two women. Out of all the midwives, then two women. And this is what he said. Don't let them Hebrew women have that before they step. And it's a paraphrase. You can look at it. See the first chapter. And you know what? They hold up to him and said, you can just go suck the thumb. I ain't going to do it. They didn't say no such thing. Find that in the Bible. They just didn't do it. And then when Pharaoh called in there and said, what did you do with my food? Who did you do? They said, hey, Indy, y'all listen to this? I tried to tell you this a while ago. You're not like the world anymore. Did you hear me? You are now strangers and foreigners. You're strangers and pilgrims. You're not worldlings anymore. You used to be worldlings before you were saved. You did everything the world did. I read that in the Bible. Just like the world did. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. You did everything the world did under the authority of the prince of the power. But when you got saved, you're not like them anymore. This is what the midwife said. They said, the Hebrew woman is like the Egyptian. You know what else he said? Listen to me. I think I told you this last time I wrote here. He said, you mean my life. What does that mean? Well, I can tell you in the New Testament term what that means. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, coming unto Jesus. Who to whom come the living stone? Now, what's that next verse? The alive stone. We're not dead. You don't have a life apart from the living stone. You derive your livelihoods from Him. But listen, I'm getting to what I'm going to say. Listen to what I said. God dealt well with the midwives because they did what He because they feared Him. First of all, they feared God and wouldn't do what the Egyptian failed to. They feared God.
This will be rescued. Here's what it says. Here's what it's about. Verse, I believe it's verse 19. Not be verse 20. This is what the Bible says.
And God made them houses to dwell in. I don't know if they didn't have, you know, I don't know where they stay for this.
Yeah, demons.
But here's how that fits for me. Listen. John chapter 14. Verse 1. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would. Then that's your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Listen. But do what? I don't know what Jesus is doing. I don't know what all Jesus is doing. But I know these two things he's doing now. Are you listening? Number one, are you listening? He's preparing a place for me. Number two, he's there on the right hand of God.
Yes.
And
yes.
You see, yes. Receive the glory. And that's better than any other argument you can have. Christ. Now this is an intolerable exclusiveness. In other words, other religions won't back you. Many Baptist denominational, Southern Baptists, BMA Baptists, or independent Baptists don't like this approach. Because it's truth. But sadly, so many of us don't buy it either. Because it shuts us up. The Lord Jesus Christ in Him alone. This is what I tell folk at home. In fact, this is what I tell folk at home where I come from. I thought I was through 20 minutes ago. My time flies. This is what I tell. Sinner, who does not know Christ as Lord, say, this is my advice to you. Come to Christ. Saint, when you're struggling in your life to live for Christ, this is my advice to you. He will intercede. And if you're not already a saint, if you'll come to him, I read this in the Bible, he will in no wise test you. I understand the ramifications of that, your ability to come. I understand all that. But you've got to come. You've got to come. If you don't come, you'll be cast out. But if you will come, he will in no wise cast you out. Would you come? Saint? Would you come? Come to Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Let us supply. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.